Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Today we continue our study of the seven feasts of the Lord given to Israel as outlined and enumerated in Leviticus 23. And these feasts tell us a great deal about the coming of the Messiah from Calvary to the kingdom. And we have been devoting a significant time of study on Yom Kippur, which arguably is one of the most important solemn days of the year in the sacred calendar of Judaism, for it was on this day that God required a blood atonement from the nation of Israel so that He could forgive them of their sins, cleanse them from its defilement, that they may be purged so that fellowship with God could be obtained. The Yom Kippur teaches us a plethora of truths about Messiah, redemption, the dispensation of grace, the second coming of Messiah, and the practical realities of the Christian walk as he is cleansed and is being cleansed by God through the once for all forever blood atoning sacrifice of Jesus the Messiah. And so today I want to focus on another noted act or gesture that the high priest was required to do on Yom Kippur. And that is when he took the blood of sacrifice from the goat, one of the two goats, from the goat dedicated to the Lord. And this goat dedicated to the Lord was taken, its throat slit, and the blood then collected in a basin, silver basin, the Talmud tells us, I believe. And that blood was taken in to the holy place, which was made up of two rooms or compartments separated by the great curtain or the veil. This veil was a means of demarcation, separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies. In Hebrews, that would be the HaKodesh, HaKodeshim, or just HaKodesh, HaKodeshim, which means literally from the Hebrew, the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, as any Bible student will know, stood the Ark of the Covenant, upon which two cherubim, angelic cherubim, stood over the Ark to guard the throne of God. The high priest would go in there and sprinkle this blood on the mercy seat of the Ark where God's presence was manifest. And this would make atonement for the sins of Israel. And through that sacrifice, God in His mercy cleansed the nation from their sins. And this atonement was good for 1 year and then had to be renewed each year on Yom Kippur. And today I want to focus on the high priest's gesture of going into the veil itself to sprinkle this blood of atonement on the mercy seat. The veil itself again tells us much about a Messiah. First of all, this veil that stood between the holy place and the Holy of Holies originally stood in the tabernacle, the Mishkan, that Israel built and constructed in the wilderness during their 40 years of wanderings. Moses was given by God the instructions to build this tabernacle in the book of Exodus. And the veil was to serve as a separation between a holy God and a sinful people. The veil represents, or can represent, the fact of separation between a holy God and a sinful people. Now, it's not because God desires to be aloof or standoffish that this veil exists. You have to first understand why this veil is there. The veil is there because God is ineffable holiness itself. The chief attribute of God is holiness. And holiness is simply moral perfection that cannot tolerate any moral evil. The holy nature of God demands that when sin or iniquity is committed, it must be punished decisively, quickly, and severely. Yet God desires to be merciful at the same time. And so, in that mercy, He provides a way where the sinner can avert God's wrath against his sin by providing a substitutionary sacrifice via the blood atonement. But the veil established the fact that a holy God cannot dwell with sinful people. And so a way back to God has to be provided so that this wall, or this, I should say, veil of separation can be penetrated and fellowship with God restored, that sin by Adam and Eve in the garden ripped, destroyed, and thereby erecting a existential separation between a holy God and the sinner. And so this is what this veil stood for. And yet God in His mercy provided a way back through the veil itself so that we could have fellowship with Him. The veil or curtain, as I said, it divided the holy place from the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies. Now, this veil that we're going to look at today, which the high priest went through to offer blood on the Ark of the Covenant, the veil itself was suspended from the top of the temple structure or the tabernacle, and it measured about 30 feet wide. It was 30 feet wide and 60 feet high. We learn this from the various ancient Jewish sources like the Mishnah and the Talmud. The veil, we learn from these rabbinic sources, was made up of 72 squares woven on the temple site in the chamber of the curtain. There was a special room in the temple itself where the veil was woven and made. The rabbis tell us that there were some 82 women who were weaving the veil continuously when it was taken down to be repaired and sewn together. Now, this veil was replaced twice every year, according to the Talmud in Shekilim, Tractate 8, paragraph 5, I believe. So the veil was replaced twice a year. This veil also, some Jewish scholars believe, was 4 to 5 inches thick. That's amazing. The veil was not something that then that could be easily torn or ripped, and it certainly could not have been torn by human hands. And that's significant, as we will find out later on in this lesson. So the veil was made of 5 colors. White, gold, blue, purple, and scarlet, which were the same colors in the tabernacle. Now, in the second temple, some believe that there were 2 veils with a cubit's space between them. 2 veils through which the high priest would go through and to make an atonement before the presence with the Lord. I hope that you can see that with each of these feasts, there is a historical fulfillment in the Messiah. And the veil, the fact of the veil, is no different. For in the veil that stood in the tabernacle and the temple, we find a type and shadow in the Lord Jesus Christ. On the great day of atonement, Yahweh instructed Moses that Aaron, the high priest, and the high priest to come after him were to enter within this veil. And the book of Hebrews spends several chapters describing how in the veil itself and the going through the veil into the presence of God, that all of these were fulfilled in the atoning ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, let's go to Hebrews now to see this. Hebrews 9, verses 7 through 9. Hebrews 9, verses 7 through 9. There, the writer of Hebrews says the following. Hebrews 9, 7 and 9. But into the second part, the high priest went, atone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. So these sacrifices, and specifically the crowning sacrifice from the whole sacrificial system under the Old Covenant, the sacrifice of Yom Kippur, points to a greater sacrifice that accomplished what the inferior sacrifices of the Old Covenant could not accomplish, namely moral perfection through the permanent removal and purgation of sin from the life of the fallen, flawed, and sinful individual. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross to offer the final sacrifice, the veil that originally stood in the tabernacle and the two temples to follow, that veil, which in Jesus' day hung in the second temple, renovated by King Herod, that veil was torn into two, according to Matthew 27, verses 51 and 52. Let's go there, and you will see that this torn veil was a miraculous act of God Himself, showing that Christ's sacrifice now gives us clear, open, and unhindered access to God. Praise His name forever. Here we read of the torn veil in verse 50 of Matthew 27. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. So the veil here was torn in two. The veil that divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies, into which only the high priest might enter on the Day of Atonement. The tearing of this veil, then, shows that this was a supernatural act, because Matthew tells us the veil was rent or torn from top to bottom, obviously showing by that this was the hand of God and not man responsible for the tearing of this veil. And keep in mind, this veil was anywhere from 4 to 5 inches thick. So a man could not easily tear this veil. It would have been too thick for his hands to accomplish. And furthermore, it was done from top to bottom. There were witnesses there who saw this. So the moment Jesus completed his sacrifice on Calvary to fulfill the Day of Atonement, the rending of the veil in the temple now signifies and showed from that day forth that a living way, a new and living way, to quote the author of Hebrews, a new and living way was open for all believers, Jew and Gentile, into the very presence of God for redemption, reconciliation, and fellowship with Him now and forever. And it was all made possible through the sacrifice and eternal priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other sacrifices now are needed, are necessary. No other sacrifices are to be made. Christ's sacrifice that was done once for all 2,000 years ago has permanently opened the way for all to come into the welcoming presence of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's exciting. What Yeshua did on the cross when He died brought all of this about. It signified the tearing of this veil with the sacrificial death of Jesus. This signified that the very way into God's glorious presence has now been open and accessible to all who believe in God through the crucified Messiah. You and I as believers can come to God through the veil today. And that veil also signifies the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ that was bruised and wounded, that through His vicarious sufferings and death we might have unhindered access to God the Father. The rending of the veil of the temple from top to bottom signifies that the rending of Christ's flesh as well brings forgiveness and access by God to Him through the sacrifice of His Son. Praise the Lord. And so there is no more need for any sacrificial system, either by Judaism or some deviant form of Christianity today. The sacrifice has already been made. When Jesus said, "It is finished," His sacrifice was completed the moment He died on the cross. And His perfect sacrifice, because He was God in making that sacrifice, His perfect sacrifice covers, atones, and removes all sins. Praise God for that. Now, not only did the Lord Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice, remove the veil of separation that stood between the sinner and a holy God, but He also went into the veil in heaven, in the heavenly tabernacle. That again, the writer of Hebrews spends much time talking about, particularly in Hebrews chapters 9 through 10. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up on high to heaven, He presented His body and the marks of His sacrifice, which blood came forth. He presented this to the Father. The Father raised Jesus from the dead to vindicate that He, Jesus' claims, and at the same time to declare to the world that He accepted the sacrifice of His Son for our sins. If you have no resurrection of Jesus from the dead, then you and I are still in our sins, because the resurrection was God's stamp of approval on the life and death of Jesus Christ. The death, meaning His sacrifice for our sins. God accepted His sacrifice and raised Him from the dead. And now, with that acceptance of the sacrifice that the Lord presented to the Father in heaven when He ascended there. He now sits at the Father's right hand. And this fulfills, my friend, the type that we see on the day of Yom Kippur when the high priest, under the old order of the Aaronic priesthood, went into the veil by way of the blood of the goat. Jesus, who came after the eternal order of Melchizedek, that priesthood completes and finishes what was foreshadowed in Yom Kippur. The Lord Jesus Christ now stands in the presence of God as our acceptable sacrifice and mediator of the new covenant. And in this, Christ fulfills Yom Kippur for the believer today who comes to Him and accepts His sacrifice for sin. Yom Kippur will also be effectively applied and fulfilled for Israel when Yeshua returns to that land and nation to save the Jewish people from annihilation. They will then look upon Him. And you know what Zechariah said. They will look upon Him whom they've pierced and in an instant receive Jesus as Messiah, and the sins of the land will be cleansed in one day based upon Christ's sacrificial death for Israel that He accomplished at the cross. Today, Yom Kippur is fulfilled in the church age, and it will be fulfilled for Israel at the second coming. More on the latter later. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has been the trailblazer, so to speak, in bringing us back to God by removing our sins, you and I, hallelujah, you and I can now pierce this veil that once separated a holy God from sinners. All believers now have the inestimable privilege in prayer, in obedience, and in worship to enter into Kodesh HaKodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies, by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All believers during the church age, all Christians, I should say, have access into the presence of God by the Spirit through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the only way we can enter into the presence of God. The only way. There is no other way. Any who tries to approach God or discern the divine apart from the person and sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ is a deceiver and a robber. He deceives by claiming that there is another way to God other than through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and he robs God of His glory by saying there is a better work or act that one can do to get to God. No, there's only one way, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only one way to God. And you remember Jesus said that in John 10, that He is the door by which the sheep enter in and have pasture. And anyone else who seeks to go through another way is a thief and a robber. So the believer today, as he has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, through that cleansing, now has unhindered access to the Father. That's why there's no need to have mediators. You don't need to go and pray to Mary's mother or a dead saint, because Jesus Christ, as the final and official mediator of the new covenant, has already paved the way so that you and I can go directly into the throne room of God and pray to God Himself and receive His guidance and His direction. If we were to say there are other mediators other than Jesus through which we have access to God and His Son, then we demean and diminish Christ's perfect work whereby we have direct, unhindered access to God. We don't need to go through any other mediator now because Jesus is the perfect mediator who provides, again, direct, immediate, unhindered, and open access to God. Praise the Lord. So not only does the believer alive today, not only does he have access into the Holy of Holies where the presence of God is, but the dead in Christ also will have physical entrance into the presence of God when he dies. This entrance will be immediate, it will be instantaneous, and it will be without delay. Praise the Lord. The scripture says to be absent from the body, talking about a Christian who dies, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when a believer dies and goes to be with the Lord, his redeemed spirit goes to heaven and he pierces the veil and experiences immediate access into heaven's sanctuary where the presence of God dwells. It is here that we are told by the writer of Hebrews, this heavenly sanctuary where all the redeemed gather to worship the Lord and the Lamb, it is here that the spirit of just men made perfect are waiting the return of the Lord and for their immortalized and resurrected bodies. So when you die according to the Word of God, through the blood of Christ, the veil that separates the physical world from the spiritual reality of heaven in another dimension, that veil will be removed and you will immediately be taken into the presence of God, assuming you are a believer. Entrance within the veil by the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith now, can be accessed through faith, prayer, praise, and worship, and last but not least, our service to the Lord. And once we are within that veil, we experience the glory of God from beginning to end with increasing glory, or as Paul said, from glory to glory. And we'll touch on that next time in our study of Yom Kippur. Through Jesus Christ, the veil has been removed. It separated a holy God from sinful man. And now we have unhindered access into the presence of God, which gives us a firm and unbreakable relationship with the Creator, who first and foremost redeems us that we might become members of His forever family. All predicated on believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins and paid the penalty for them and rose again from the dead to give you life with Him forever. Well, I see that I'm out of time. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.